Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and producing the show. Tom, you seem to be in really good spirits today. A huge smile on your face.
I think I was laughing or smiling at something that Dylan Smith told me.
Yeah, Dylan will be along a little bit later. But right now we have Dan Shearer, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, and we have Mark Napier, Sheriff of Pima County. Sheriff, how are you?
I'm very well. We've been very busy for the last month, but all's good.
Very good. On this Friday, February the 3rd, we always like to do a big shout-out to our media partners. And Tom brought up Dylan Smith, the editor-publisher of the TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan will be along on our roundtable at 12:30, but I want to thank Dylan for his support, putting the Buckmaster Show prominently displayed at TucsonSentinel.com. And Dan, I want to thank you for your support over the years of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, where you are the editor of those publications.
Yep, and I've had a busy month too, probably not as busy as a sheriff.
Also, thanks to TucsonLifestyle.com, Tucson Examiner, the Arizona Examiner.com, and 3Sonorans.com supporting us. Sheriff, it has been, as we've alluded, a very busy time for you. You're working pretty much 10-hour days, haven't had a day off since you were sworn in, really about 1 month now, 1 month anniversary.
Yeah, we're just past 1 month. There were about 33 days, not that I'm counting, into it. And I think I might actually get a day off this weekend.
Oh, really?
Maybe, and I don't want to jinx myself.
Well, of course, you'll be on call, but yes. Yeah, don't jinx yourself. Anyway, there were four previously the administration. People don't really follow this that closely, but it's very important. You have 1,500 employees. Mm-hmm. There are what are called bureau chiefs. These mm-hmm. are like, I guess in a corporate world, they'd be like vice presidents.
Yeah, very, very yeah. similar to vice presidents.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so how is that structure work, and you kind of reorganize that?
Well, we're doing a massive reorganization. We're narrowing down the department, flattening it out, and streamlining it. One of the things, we won't be filling a chief deputy spot. We will not be filling a chief of staff spot. We reduced by two the number of admin people in the sheriff's office. And we're going from four bureaus down to three bureaus. So we're losing a bureau chief. The cascading effect is that we'll probably lose one captain and one lieutenant also. So we're going to be much flatter, much leaner, and we're going to have to work a lot smarter than we worked in the past.
Did these people apply for these positions?
Yes, what I did is we kept the current bureau chiefs in their spots, and then we opened it up to a competitive process. Part of that was submission of a resume with experience, qualifications, educations to me, and then I had three questions that I wanted them to answer in an essay format. One, to get an idea how well they think. Secondly, how well they write. And then we did an internal leadership survey out to the department. We got back about 300 responses, which really surprised me. Mm. And those were very enlightening. So the department actually participated in deciding who the executive leadership team would be. Mm. I kind of kid with them. I said, you're stuck with me. I got elected. But I want you guys to have some input into who the executive team is.
So you heard from, did I hear you correct, 300?
About 300. I didn't count, but I'm estimating about 300 employees.
And this kind of gives you sort of a feel about the way folks are feeling, right?
Yeah, a little bit more so that the way they saw leadership on the department and strengths and weaknesses and things like that, which was really valuable to me to kind of get a scouting report on how deep my bench is. And I'm very, very pleased with who prevailed in that process. Chief Carl Woolrich, Chief Byron Gowaltney, and now soon to be Chief Deanna Johnson.
All right. Dan Shearer, the Green Valley News.
You emphasized to the media that it was a competitive selection process. Why was it important to make it clear that things went down that way? Had it just not happened in the past?
You know, I can't really answer for everything that happened in the past, Dan. The thing to me was that was really important is to make sure that it was a competitive process. I'm not under any obligation. The assignment of bureau chief is at the discretion of the sheriff. So I literally could have picked you and Bill, and, you know, that that was just to be the way it is. So that would actually, I should have thought of that.
Yeah,
that, you know, I missed.
Yeah,
the,
we may have considered. We may
there.
Have considered that. Yeah.
But no, I wanted the department to feel like that they had input, that it was a competitive process, it wasn't a beauty contest. But I wanted the best, the brightest, the most capable people I could at that level.
And you went from 4 to 3, and you have not decided exactly yet what those three are going to be doing. But let's talk about corrections, if we could. India Davis retired. She oversaw really what was a monstrous operation. Mm-hmm. Will you have one person specifically assigned to corrections, or how is that going to work out?
Yes, absolutely. The Corrections Bureau would be the bureau that will be the least touched by the changes that we're making. The Corrections Bureau will remain basically intact, and we already know that Chief Byron Gowaltney will take command of the Corrections Bureau on February 19th when these changes come in effect. And Chief Gowaltney has already had experience in corrections previously, so he will be able to hit the ground, at least knowing the layout of the building and some of the issues there. The three captains that were there before will remain in place, and they've been there quite a long time and very capable, exceptionally competent captains in corrections. And then we'll take the remaining three bureaus, condense those into two, and there'll probably be an operations bureau, which will be mostly the field and those type of things, and then a support bureau, which will be admin and investigations. And Chief Johnson will take care of the support bureau, and Chief Woolrich will be over operations. And we're still trying to work out the composition of the condensed from three to two bureaus.
And then you want these people to be able to be interchangeable.
Yes, actually, they already know where their rotation will be in January of 2019. So I want to have some codependence among them, too, so that, if you knew you were going to corrections after Bill, well, about a year into that process, you and Bill would start to talk because mm-hmm. you would be relying upon one another for communication. Mm-hmm. And so that I get a very deep bench, because my goal is that all of the commanders will have a global understanding of the entirety of the department, that we don't have people that are pigeonholed with a very myopic view of what our department does. Then you get these silos and this territoriality that is very counterproductive.
What is your population like, what are the numbers at the jail facility?
This morning we're about 1,800 prisoners.
Is that, what's your capacity? What's the building?
Well, I think that
for?
We start to get worried at 2,000. Mm-hmm. We can handle 2,000, maybe 2,100. Above 2,100, bells start to go off. Mm. That we really have a problem with overcrowding at that point. So it's been trending down over the last couple of weeks. I monitor it every morning. And so it's been trending down, and I'm very happy about that. So I think we're a little bit under 1,800 this morning.
Any idea why it might be trending down?
It could be seasonal or any number of mm-hmm. Factors that could be at play there. I'm hoping that more awareness of who we incarcerate and why is starting to take root. I know we've got a lot of initiatives out there that are very important and very meaningful, because often we are incarcerating the wrong people for the wrong reasons.
Dan?
You came into this with a pretty big budget challenge. I know $5-6 million, I don't know, in the hole or whatever. Two questions on that. One, how are you handling it? And number two, in talks with County Administrator Huckleberry, are you seeing any potential relief financially in the coming year?
Well, the coming year is still to be decided. I mean, the county administration is still working out the budget for the next fiscal year, so that remains unclear presently. What we've been doing since I took office, which, again, 33 days ago, we've taken steps to make the organization flatter, removing unnecessary bureaucratic high-level, high-paying positions. Now, honestly, if I had a chief deputy and a chief of staff and two more admin people in my office, my life would be tremendously easier. That is not what people elected me for, to make my life easy. I have a fiduciary responsibility over about $150 million of our tax dollars. So it's incumbent upon me to spend those wisely.
Is that your budget?
It's about $148 million in general fund, and then we have revenues from prisoners and mm-hmm. and then also the grants. So it comes up to about $153
million.
Hmm. So it's a very big budget. But when I took office, we were projecting that we would be more than $6 million in the red if we didn't do any interventions at all. So we've looked at on-call pay. We've looked at our organizational structure. And we'll be publishing a 30-day report here in the next couple of days. And I believe that it will demonstrate we've saved about $2.5 million
already
in 30 days.
Wow. The thing that most of your consumers are concerned with is is, God forbid, if they need a deputy in a hurry. So what can you tell our listeners about response time at this point?
We have done nothing to the line level people. That's why we started at the top. We started looking in my office. That's the first place we looked for where cuts could be, which is usually the last place law enforcement looks for cuts. They usually cut at the bottom. The traditional thing for chiefs and sheriffs to say is, okay, well, if you won't give me money, I'm going to cut the DUI squad, I'll cut the SROs, I'll cut all these things the community wants to, in effect, punish the community. So what I said to my commanders is, guess what? We're going to work a lot harder than we have before. We're going to work smarter and leaner than we have in the past before we touch anything at the point of service delivery, whether that be in the correctional facility or whether it be out on the in the field.
790-2040 is our live line number, and we welcome you now to join us in the conversation with Sheriff Mark Napier. Dan Scheer will also stick around. We have another segment with the sheriff. 12:15 exactly on the Buckmaster Show. Tom, this is where we will take our first break. And what kind of music, Tom, have you put together here for the Buckmaster Show, our intermission music today?
Well, somebody requested Chicago.
Well, because they were here last night, apparently had a great concert. And it is my hometown. So that somebody might have been yours truly.
All right.
As I was walking down the street one day, a man came up to me and asked me what the time was. That was on my watch. Yeah, I said, does anybody really know what time it is?
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust.
Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, I'll have our Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators John Munger and Jeff Rogers. Also, General John Wickham, the former United States Army Chief of Staff. All happening on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030. KVOI, Tucson's voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Mark Napier is here, Pima County Sheriff, Republican, who was elected in November and sworn in early last month. Dan Scheer is here, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. And Harry has been waiting patiently through the break. Hey, Harry, how are you?
Bill, afternoon. Sheriff, afternoon.
And part
in the studio, afternoon.
Pardon me, I called the Southern Arizona News Examiner at the beginning of the show. I think I said Tucson or maybe Arizona News Examiner. But Harry, I know you're very much associated with that online publication, so I want to correct myself. There you go, my friend.
I appreciate that. Unfortunately, or fortunately for you, I did not hear the beginning of the show.
Oh, okay.
yes, I am the news/ managing editor
there
of
you
that
go.
Publication.
Yes, sir.
You guys may have covered this at the top of the program, and again, I'm sorry I did not tune in at that point. The question is, and it's a general question, Sheriff, do you foresee any issues with the recent executive orders from the new president regarding illegals and sanctuary cities and so forth? Because that would tend to increase the jail population.
Well, it could. As we all know, there's a lot of a ground between an executive order and policy implementation. So I'm going to take a wait-and-see attitude. We've got a lot of rhetoric bouncing around. We have an executive order out there. How that's going to manifest itself and really into policy at the local level, I don't know yet. I am concerned about, the ballooning jail population as a potential outcome. There are a whole bunch of other issues associated with immigration, especially since we have 125 miles of exposure to the international border. So I don't see our role at the Pima County Sheriff's Department changing fundamentally at all. But again, a lot will be decided between an executive order and early administration rhetoric and actual policy implementation.
One more question, if I may.
Sure.
You had mentioned during the campaign that you wanted to work with the rest of the border sheriffs, as it were, implementing the governor's, I forget which task force that is, any movement on that?
All over it. I put 2,000 miles on my car the first month. I was down in Santa Cruz County on Monday meeting with Sheriff Estrada down there. We had a good meeting about border safety issues. I was over in Benson meeting with Sheriff Daniels. Cochise County, and then I was up in Pinal's meeting with Sheriff Lamb up there already. I was out at the Border Patrol station in Ajo yesterday, meeting with Border Patrol officials out there and the people out in the western part of our county, and I've had numerous meetings with Chief Magnus and met with the Tohono O'odham tribal leader, police department this past week. Other than that, I've really not been doing a whole lot. very busy.
Let's bring Dan in again. Dan Scheer.
I live down in Sarita, and their police department has become somewhat of a leader, at least in in Pima County with drone technology, and they're actually using it in certain situations, at least a couple that we know of. Has the county considered drones, and if so, what are they doing with them? If not, why not?
Well, it's something that's on our radar screen, Dan. The problem is that Pima County is 9,200 square miles, and the affordable drone technology currently has a very limited range. You know, if you buy a one of the high-end drones, you're talking about $1 million to be able to then equip one that could actually have a significant enough range and airtime to serve our county. So I don't think we're quite there yet. We have a good, robust air assets with the Pima County Sheriff's Department already. We have 3 fixed-wing aircraft and a helicopter. And so we've got a very good air unit right now. And fixed-wing technologies much less expensive to run than rotary aircraft.
How about the stress level of this job? You've been out there. You're a former cop yourself, so you understand what these young men and women are going through.
The time's different. It just is. You know, we looked at the officers killed in the line of duty summary from last year, and it was a very different year. 135 officers lost their life in the line of duty. And out of the last 20 years, only 5 of those years were years in which more violence was done to police officers by gun violence than traffic accidents. Historically, more officers lose their lives in traffic accidents than are by firearms. Last year, that was not true. And for one of the first years in decades, more officers lost their life in firearms events that were ambushes. With no warning whatsoever, the officer had no advanced notice that this violence was going to occur. And that is a very different dynamic than we've experienced in the past.
I saw a police car the other day, that a black and white city car that looked like it was in bad shape. And I know that your son is a police officer at TPD.
And on duty right now.
And he's in a vehicle 10 hours a day. That is his office. Folks are going to be asked for a half-cent sales tax increase in the city for police and fire, and 40% of that money would go to roads. But how is your infrastructure right now, your hard assets, so to speak?
We're doing much better than the city. We've been more successful in keeping our fleet up to date. It's not to say that I wouldn't like a little improvement there, but I'm not in the same shape that the city is by any means. And I know that no one likes additional taxes, and I sure understand that. I do. But this half-cent sales tax that the city's undergoing, I do support it. It's necessary to keep that infrastructure up. There really, at this point, is not a good alternative to that. And as much as people don't like new taxes, I don't like new taxes. But if we can have a very directed approach with the revenue generated from this tax, and it does sunset at the end of 5 years, as it's supposed to, I think it's very worthy of support. And the cars have got to be safe, because obviously if you're tearing after a suspect and stuff, you want to be in a safe vehicle. But the environment that an officer or a deputy lives in for 10 hours a day is that vehicle. So it's got to be clean and serviceable and a decent environment. And I know that some of the cars that my son has been driving, well over 100,000 miles on them.
They've been around, some of them, a couple of times, I think.
Well, I had an officer tell me that he was going to a call, and he'd used the brakes to the point where when he got there, he couldn't stop for three-quarters of a block because of the brake fade.
Well, earlier we were talking about administration. Now let's talk about the deputies on the streets. And attrition has traditionally been a problem with the Pima County Sheriff's Department. How is it going? Are you losing people? Are you gaining people? What's going on?
Well, we're not losing people. Of course, I've only been there 30 days.
Right.
But the one thing I implemented right off the bat was something we've never done before, Dan, which was do an exit survey. Every time we lose somebody, we'll ask them to complete an exit survey so I can begin to understand and quantify why we're losing people. I mean, anecdotally, we think it's all because of pay and all these things. But I'd really like to be able to, in a year or so, to go to the Board of Supervisors, Mr. Ackerboy, and say, you know what, I lost 22 deputies. 89% of that was for compensation because they went to other agencies, et cetera, et cetera. I can't confidently do that right now. I will say that we had a deputy that went to Sarita, and in 10 days was in my office asking if he could have his job back.
And did he get it?
He did. Yes, he did. I said, yes, welcome home.
And you've postponed the training academies for deputies and corrections officers. These are new people on the street, but not ongoing training. Isn't that going to kind of put you behind the eight ball at some point if that continues?
It does eventually, Dan. It does have a cascading effect, and we're very cognizant of that. We're planning on ramping it up after the fiscal year, July 1st, and going back. Where I'm really hurting, more so than deputies, are corrections officers. We're really short in the corrections facility, and we're expending a lot of overtime to cover vacancies there, and that's not a good use of our money. So I'm very aware that we need to do a little bit more for our corrections folks.
How do you get more officers? Just recruit for the corrections, or is that a specialized area, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's a specialized area. It's somebody who would not necessarily want to be a road deputy, or maybe sees that as a stepping stone to becoming a road deputy. And again, I think you create the environment, like we were talking about on break, you create the environment where people feel like, A, corrections is not an afterthought, but that we actually care about the people there. Now, I can't fix everything. I'm not even close, but I can control how my command staff behaves, and that we get away from some of the kind of dysfunctional behaviors that we experienced in the past.
And you have been meeting and trying to meet with every one of the county sheriffs. There's 15 counties in Arizona, and you'll probably try to interface and network with all of them.
Absolutely. A week from today, I'll be at a meeting in Phoenix with all of them. Mm-hmm. We're all meeting up there, and I've met with them once already. I met with them actually before I took office on my own dime. I went to a meeting up in Phoenix so I could meet with them before I took office. And so I think that's really important that we network. There are 15 sheriffs, and this year there are 7 of us that are new, which is very peculiar.
Yeah, I was just going to say that the corridor, other than Sheriff Estrada, but actually the Tucson-Phoenix corridor, you've got 3 new sheriffs.
Yes.
You have you and Pinal County, a new sheriff, mm-hmm. and then Joe Arpaio is gone after a very long tenure up there.
I saw Sheriff Bazone. We went up yesterday to Phoenix and had a visit with Director Comey of the FBI. He had a briefing up there for law enforcement. I went up there and met with Director Comey and saw Sheriff Bazone while I was up there.
Mm-hmm. Dan, a quick final question.
We know that you put a lot of stock in formal education. You have a master's from Boston University. Mm-hmm. As you hire deputies in the future, is their post-secondary education accomplishments going to carry a lot of weight?
I think it will carry some weight. Whether it's a lot or not, that's still to be defined. I mean, that's way down the road of my task list right now. But I believe that the public is better served by having deputies that have a more well-rounded education. It helps you understand societal issues from a whole different perspective. So I think there is value in formal education, and I think that we would put stock in that when we look at hires.
All right, Sheriff Mark Napier, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Bill. It's good to see you.
And congratulations on your first 33 days.
And I'm upright. This is a good thing.
I think you deserve some time off, even if it's for a weekend.
Napier might have other thoughts about that.
All right, thanks a lot. Dan Scheer will stick around, and Dylan Smith has been waiting very patiently on the other side of the glass. He is up next on our Friday roundtable. But right now, Tom, did you pick out, let's see, I think you've got from the Chicago, we're featuring the Chicago bumper music. This is a very well-known hit, isn't it?
25, 6, 2, 4.
Go for it.
Waiting for the break of day. Searching for something to say. Flashing lights against the sky. Giving
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Tom Fairbanks, a lot of people don't realize Chicago really is a 60s band. I mean, they have been around forever, but they started off as a group. Dylan Smith joining us. Hi, Dylan.
Hey.
They started off CTA, Chicago Transit.
I'm a really big fan of the that first Chicago Transit Authority album,
yeah,
the double album.
Started off
as Gatefold.
Thank you.
Great
stuff. One of the
on
best.
There.
One of the best.
And then they had the 25 or 64 live album that came out pretty soon after
mm-hmm.
that. And
mm-hmm.
then after that, they turned into complete boring garbage.
What do you really feel like? But Tom, you've always loved Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they keep getting back together.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they have their little spats and tiffs, and then they kind of iron them out and get back together again. And they're still touring.
Yeah, they are. Last night, I believe, here in town.
Yeah, they opened the one of their tours here last
yeah.
night.
Yeah, and they do have, I want to say, 4 original members might still be with the group. Something like that. Anyway, Dylan's here and Dan Scheer is here. Thank you, Dan, for staying over from our interview with the sheriff. And sheriff is saying after 33 days, he's going to be putting out a report on the first 30 days. And he says he will have saved the taxpayers $2.5 million.
That was probably the headline that came
yeah.
out of that interview there.
$2.5
million
so.
In a month. Yeah. Pretty darn good. It's
well, $2.5 in a month or $2.5 over the rest of the budget year?
In the last month.
As savings.
I don't know.
Either way, he's only partway
money,
there.
But, you know, I don't think he's you know, taken.
I don't think he's gotten the hatchet out yet, but it was interesting what he said about
$30 million a year out of the budget.
Well, it's interesting what he said about starting at the top instead of starting to cut
yeah.
at the bottom, which is exactly what we do see. Is there are threats to a community that you're going to lose certain programs that the community wants if you know you don't support us. But he looked in his own office first and he took some action.
All right, I want to begin with the big story of the week here in Pima County, and that would be the decision yesterday, Dylan. Pima County Superior Court Judge striking down Pima County's contract with Worldview Enterprises that would have required taxpayers to foot the bill for a new facility for the company's tourism. Well, not just balloon tourism, but for their all of their enterprises.
Yeah. That worldview gets, you know, painted, and really you can kind of blame it on them. They used their idea of sending people up to the edge of space in balloons as sort of a marquee mm-hmm. idea to sell themselves. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, that's neat.
Yeah,
and that got them a big wave of criticism. That isn't their plan for that to be their core business.
No,
they
it
want
isn't.
To send basically low-level satellites, in essence, balloons carrying instruments at very, very high altitude for months at a time.
Of course, the Goldwater Institute then brought this suit. It is the first step in what I would assume will be then there will be a next legal, certainly an appeal.
I think they are very, very likely to vote to appeal this ruling next week. The ruling was based on Goldwater's allegations that Pima County broke state procurement laws when they set up this lease. And there seems to be some conflicts in how the statutes bump up against each other. Pima County says that they did this fine and dandy underneath economic development laws. And if this is upheld, mm-hmm. if it's appealed and then upheld, it's going to create an enormous amount of havoc all over the state of Arizona, because pretty much every economic development,
economic incentives,
deals that have been done by cities and towns mm-hmm. all over the state will be basically declared illegal, and you're talking God even knows how much money.
Dan?
And also, just that this even happened, whether or not it's going to be appealed and overturned or not, I wonder if there's some business out there looking at Pima County mm-hmm. and saying, wait, hey, can we
Rather
trust that they're going to get
chilling,
it right?
A chilling
yes,
effect, perhaps.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that has to be considered also. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why both the city of Tucson and Pima County are, at least in the short term, really looking to partner with Rio Nuevo and do things in a way. Rio Nuevo is actually exempt from
they are,
a
yes.
whole lot of
good
these
point.
Laws.
Very good
and
point.
And, you know, they have pretty much, those sort of shackles have been taken off mm-hmm. of them right from the mm-hmm. get-go. But they can only do things inside the Rio Nuevo district.
Right.
So something like Worldview, where they needed space by the airport, could not have been no. accomplished.
And the
mechanism.
District itself goes up to approximately where Elkhorn is to the east,
well,
the Rio Nuevo district.
It runs
right?
down Broadway, but
down
just
Broadway.
A block on either side.
Yeah.
You're talking just basically Broadway
exactly.
to yeah. the mall, and then going to right west of downtown.
Let's go to Robert. He would like to join the conversation. Robert, what's on your mind?
Hey, Bill. When Mr. Huckleberry was on your show, I asked him how on earth that building could be going up so quickly before there'd been a judgment from a judge as to whether it was legal to do so. And he said he was confident that the judge would rule in his favor.
Okay.
Now he's going to appeal it, wasting even more money. Plus, he paid for a $2 million assessed piece of property. The county paid $6 million to the owner, who was Don Diamond. How much money does he plan on wasting on this? And if any of y'all have seen this building, is it a single-purpose building that will be good for nothing?
Okay.
Okay.
The building itself is essentially a big warehouse, a giant open space structure. Anything that requires a whole lot of space, you could get something up and running in there. They're doing a little bit of TI work and building offices and things like that in one portion of it. But if you're going to have a business, you're going to need an office. On the question of why they kept building, they had a contract that they signed, and the Goldwater Institute never asked for an injunction to hold the construction. They never went to the judge and said, hey, hang on, why don't we hold off on this? So that wasn't even a question. And if they would have dialed back the contract, the county would have been sued by the other party. They would have probably been sued by Worldview. They had an obligation.
And Robert, the real waste of money could come if the county doesn't appeal this. So then you've lost everything. So we'll just let it play out, see what happens. Very interesting, I'll tell you that, on lots of levels, and it will reverberate across the state.
One of the very ironic possibilities, and I really don't see it playing out, but somebody asked me about this on Facebook earlier today, and I sort of jokingly suggested that Worldview might end up paying less for the building. Because the idea of what the judge said was right. You have to put this building out for open bidding for the lease. And if nobody else wants it and they put in a lower bid than what they've agreed to pay, they would end up with it fair and square under the judge's order and paying less than they were obligated to pay under the contract.
All right. Want to switch gears. Martha McSally walking a rather kind of a tightrope, I guess, with these executive orders coming down from Donald Trump. Did you speak with the Congresswoman today, Dan Scheer?
I spoke with her office today, and there was a call earlier today by a group that wants her to let us know where she stands on the issues. And it's called McSally Take a Stand. And I had been hearing this in my community for quite a while. There is a new group down there called the Alliance for Action at recently met, absolutely had to turn away more people than they were allowed, than they could fit in the building. That's how much interest there is in this. But they're saying the same thing. We want to know where she stands on the issues. And I think what they want is her to bring a little bit of stability to a chaotic situation. So we pitched the idea to her probably 10 days ago of a forum down in our area. And we are working together on that. I'm not telling you that it's set or that they've agreed to it, but we had another talk this morning about it, and they're seriously considering it. My guess is that it's going to happen. We are having discussions about it. I think she wants to figure out where's the best place to have it. Is it Green Valley? Is it somewhere else in the district? What should the format be? What do people want to hear? And whether this, by this group, is just kind of a political ploy, to a point it is, but let's push all that aside. The fact is that a member of Congress, particularly now with what we've seen here over the last couple of weeks from President Trump, they need to hear from their member of Congress.
Certainly, it's a political ploy. It's being run by some pretty prominent Democratic activists who are looking to put Martha McSally into even more of a pickle than she's in. She managed to get through the election really without saying boo one way or another about whether she supported Donald Trump. But now that he's been elected and sworn in and she's been reelected and they're needing to make decisions about his policies that he presents, it is time for her to have a little bit more of a dialogue, certainly. She's not going to go to an event that's put on by people who are looking to attack her. Obviously a bit of a stunt.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But I think the interesting thing here is that every time she even remotely might agree with one of his policies, mm-hmm. she's going to be tied to him. The fact is, they're both Republicans. They're going to agree an awful lot. I can't speak for her, of course, but I don't think she likes the process by which things are being rolled out. Nobody does, because this is the chaos that we're experiencing, and I think she doesn't like that. But will she agree with some of the stuff that he's putting forward? Yes. Should she take a hit for that because it's Donald Trump? No, she shouldn't. I mean, this is...
Well, how about just a hit because the policy might not be the greatest policy?
Fine. Get her on policy. That's what we want to talk about in the public forum. We don't want to talk about Donald Trump, although, again, he really is kind of the catalyst for this, because people have their hands in the air and saying, okay, wait a minute, what does our representative in Washington?
He is indeed the elephant in the room.
Oh, absolutely. So,
what I'm seeing from a lot of, not a lot of, but quite a, for this early in a presidency, quite a shocking number of local Republicans is them being, very candid about the fact that they're laying the groundwork to say that Donald Trump is not a Republican.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Wall Street.
That they can, create as much distance as they possibly can between local Republicans, and including congressional candidates and the senators, and Donald Trump.
Independent populists, that's what the Wall Street Journal calls Mr. Trump.
Well, and that's what a lot of local Republicans are starting to say, and they're pretty open about the fact that they are looking to... create at least some plausible deniability about whether their folks are tied to him.
Tim Steller in the Star today, Dan and Dylan put out a list of candidates considering running. I would think we're going to get someone emerging here within a month or so.
Well, there are plenty of people who are floating out their trial balloons, as always happens, this early in the process. If somebody wants to make a legitimate, sorry to reuse the word, but plausible chance at unseating Martha McSally. They're going to have to start working really hard right now, and especially raising money starting last week even. I mean, that's a hurdle.
And let's be honest, she is potentially vulnerable, and she knows that she had a weak candidate in the 2016 election. That's really kind of how she skated by, as you put it, Dylan. But this 2018, we could actually be a more interesting election than 2016.
You think the Mexican president will take the invitation from Mayor Rothschild to come to Tucson?
Oh, heck no. That's just another really good political stunt. It was a really good chance for the mayor to draw some attention and get some people talking about an important topic. I don't see the Mexican president coming here to Tucson just because the mayor invited him all along.
Yeah, but if he did, it'd be cool. Mm-hmm. We'd love to see it.
Yeah, and it is, as everybody in Tucson understands, our relationship, our trade relationship especially, but just our cultural ties with Mexico are vital to this place, and here we know that a heck of a lot more deeply than somebody who is in Iowa just glancing down at the map.
$1 billion a year Mexican shoppers spend up here, so, and that some of that comes through Green Valley.
Oh, absolutely does. I was talking to our development director recently, and a lot more hits Sarita than I had ever expected. There was one business down there that says 30% of what they get comes up from Mexico. And Mexico is, the business culture is, it's all relational. You know, you meet with someone, and you're going to spend the first 15 minutes talking about how's your mom, how are your kids, what's going on, and then you can get down to business. But you just can't go and barrel in. It's very culturally offensive to them. So just understand how people operate. Know your audience, and then work that way. That's really kind of the message to Donald Trump. It's not so much what you're doing, it's how you're doing it is the problem a lot of people have with him.
Yep. All right, Dylan Smith. Thank you, Dylan, for coming in. Hope you have a great weekend.
Dan, I'm working on it.
Dan, I hope you have a great weekend. You're headed for the high country where there's still some snow, right?
Yeah, I hope not, but near Payson, I'll be up in Strawberry.
All right, well, have a good time. Be safe, okay, both of you. All right, coming up, it is Weekend Watch, and I know where I'm going to be, and I'm happy to be there Saturday at Westin La Paloma. Talking about travel at the Bon Voyage 2017 Travel Show. 1 o'clock, I will be interviewed by Ryan Hansen, head of Bon Voyage Travel. We'll be talking about some of my favorite places to visit, Dylan.
Here in Tucson, your favorite places or other places?
Other places.
Mallorca?
Actually, Madeira. I think, is going to be near the top of the list.
Okay.
All right. More Chicago, our bump music. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garver. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. All right, Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a beautiful three-hour drive east of Tucson up to Silver City, and a lot to do up there, including the Catwalk. Yes, the Catwalk National Recreation Trail recently has reopened. It's better than ever. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. Has the full listing of the great places to stay and the many recreation opportunities. Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show, hosted by Inside Tucson business, food, and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm ready for the weekend.
got a happy hour pick for us.
I do. I like May's Counter today on the 2900 block of East Speedway. $3 beer pints and $4 22-ounce drafts, but for me, it's all about the pound and a pint, which
Whoa.
Is a full pound of chicken served next to a pint of suds for only $8. Now, they tell me their record is 6 pounds and 6 pints. Let's just hope that was conducted over a period of many hours. After happy hour, go right into the chicken and waffles, and you will leave full. Happy hour starts at May's Counter in just 2 hours.
What about those yearning for barbecue?
Yeah, you know, the great culinary traditions of Louisiana will be on display tomorrow at Red's Smokehouse and Tap Room for their first annual Louisiana Back Alley Barbecue. Bill, are you ready for all-you-can-eat barbecue alligator?
Always.
Alligator gumbo,
smoked
shrimp, a whole pig roast, all just $35 a person. It starts tomorrow at 4:30. Expected to go deep in the night. Roll up your sleeves, put on the old Buckmaster bib, and get ready to get in.
Super Bowl is kind of synonymous with kind of snacks and good food.
Absolutely, and whether you're a Patriots fan or a Falcons fan, everyone is invited to a great Super Bowl spread on Sunday at Rincon Market. They're going to be doing a Super Bowl viewing party. Festivities will include an all-you-can-eat appetizer buffet, dollar beers, other bar specials. But here's something fun. A different raffle prize will be given away every quarter of the game, including a 55-inch television.
Are you kidding me? Wow.
Rincon Market on the corner of 6th Street and Tucson Boulevard is going to be ready for you on Super Bowl Sunday. Come hungry, Bill.
What's in the column this week?
Well, I was recently introduced to a sweet liqueur that actually originated in Sweden in the early 1700s. It's suddenly become relevant again, and this is a story about Scandinavia, spirits, and just a touch of sass, and you can read all about it in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Have a super weekend, my friend.
Right back to you, sir. Thanks.
All right. The music, the original music on the Buckmaster Show, we're so proud of this young man. We found him over in the island of Madeira. We met over there. He's from Munich, Germany. Christophon is his name. He has a new album out. The link is at buckmastershow.com. He did all the original music, our theme music for Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communication, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. So many to thank here. The whole team at KVOI, and specifically on Friday, Tom Fairbanks. Tom does a great job for me engineering and producing our show. And I want to publicly say to him, thank you, Tom, for all you do for the Buckmaster Show. So on behalf of all of us, we hope you have a wonderful and safe weekend. Back at you Monday at 12:04.